And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I think for the last couple of weeks, maybe even three or four, there's been tremendous trouble with the phone lines. I'm hoping that that's all fixed now. Surely it is. There's a phone number here at the station, and it's a new phone number. I know, I gave you a new one last week and the week before that, but this one's a different one. But I think that the brilliant engineering crew here at the station has solved this issue. So hopefully, I can actually start taking phone calls and trying my best to answer whatever questions you may have. This program is called Health Essentials. It may not make logical sense, but I am totally for natural ways to help the body to heal and to repair itself. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. That would be the number that you would call if you want to call in and ask me a question. So I realize that's different. It's going to take a little while to kind of learn this, because, you know, when you have in your mind the old phone number, you want to call the old phone number, but don't do that. Call the new phone number, 903-589-8507. Just in case you didn't have a pen or a pencil handy, I'll give it to you again. 903-589-8507. And plus, we got to test the phone line out at some time, don't we? Anyway, if nobody wants to call and ask a question right away, here, we'll try this right here. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, how are you doing?
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I got a question. I'm testing out the line, and I got a question for you. Here we go. Yeah, what was your remedy for people the shot that they give you, not the flu shot, the other one.
You mean the COVID-19 vaccine?
No. Actually, I meant when your skin gets the bad rash, it hurts really bad.
Oh, shingles.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was the shingles, yeah.
Okay, now what exactly are you asking me?
I mean, you said that there are some things you could do to help out if you get shingles.
Yeah, absolutely. One of them, have you ever heard me talk about the thymus gland before?
Yes.
The thymus gland is absolutely the largest gland of the immune system, and it's what regulates immune function. So if it's underperforming, guess what happens? You're going to be more vulnerable to a virus like shingles. Personally, I wouldn't wish shingles on my enemy. It's brutal. It's horrible. So taking thymus extract is one of the quickest ways that you can help your body bounce back. There is a herbal remedy. If you've tried everything else and nothing seems to work with a virus like shingles, it doesn't hurt to try one herb. It's called andrographis. Andrographis. You can probably phonically spell that out. Andrographis, quite often, it'll give your immune system the boost it needs to get over the hump. I've seen it work over and over and over again.
Okay.
So you could take thymus extract. That's usually from a calf. They just freeze-dry it, dehydrate it, put it in tablet or capsule form. You could very, very easily take andrographis. And just, that's one of those things. Can I tell you what I would do if it were me? If I felt like I had shingles that was popping up, I would start taking both thymus extract and andrographis immediately. I'd probably even take like a couple of tablets every hour of the day. It's so much easier to have your immune system rise to the occasion, actually go after the virus, attack it, eat it, beat it up, get rid of it, and instead of letting it just fully develop. Can I tell you what I did last week? I was on the computer looking up something, and I came across a YouTube short where they actually showed your white blood cells attacking parasites in the blood, and I was so fascinated because the parasites were just cruising along, you know, wreaking havoc, doing whatever they wanted. All of a sudden, when your own natural white blood cells, you know, your immune system came in contact with it, it's almost like they planted C4 explosives from the military and blew them up. And I thought, isn't it amazing how the immune system works? So andrographis and thymus extract, those are two of the easiest things that you can take. If you're not out in the sun very much, you might want to take some vitamin D also, and maybe even cod liver oil, because that does help soothe the inflamed nerves.
Okay.
Some people get benefit just by putting raw honey on the shingles lesions. It can't hurt to try, can it?
No, it can't. Did you say anything about urine?
Yes, but not today. That's one of the oldest remedies of all time. Just like, and I'm not trying to make a joke, but if you were at Galveston right now and you went out there and said, "Hey, the water's great," and all of a sudden 25,000 jellyfish wrap their tentacles around your leg, what would you do to stop it from burning and stinging and making you feel horrible? You'd probably just pee on it, wouldn't you?
Okay.
If it was on your foot, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay, yes, okay.
So that's one of the old school remedies for quickly turning it around.
Okay, thank
all right.
you, sir.
I hope that helps. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yay, the phone line works. Good. That's excellent. All right, where was I right here? Okay, this, what I'm fixing to share with you, I think potentially everybody could benefit from it. And if somebody can't benefit from it, it's probably because they're already doing it. But anyway, sometimes you don't know what you should be doing unless you hear some type of useful information that may give you some particular clue as to what's not working right. Okay? If you've been to the grocery store, on the candy aisle, they sell gummy bears, gummy worms, Peeps, marshmallows, fruit snacks. Yeah, on the other side of the aisle where they have the nuts, that's where the fruit snacks are. All those, you know what they have in common? They're all made of gelatin. Okay. I came across this article. And this is not the one I'm going to talk about, but it caught my interest. There is a forgotten study from probably a long, long time ago where it seemed that if people would just take a gelatin, if they would supplement with it, that what would happen is that would reduce fatigue during physical exercise. And you'd probably agree with me, there's nothing more disconcerting or trying mentally and emotionally to be exhausted, and you go, "Oh, I know I need to go for a walk. I can't just sit on the couch all day long. I got to get up and do something. I got to go. I got to make my body move. This is the pits. I'm tired of feeling exhausted. My body's not working right." But what if you get up and you go for a walk, and you're even more exhausted at the end of the walk, or you kind of go as far as you can. Let's just say it's a half a mile, and you go, "Oh my goodness, I think I went too far. I can't make it. I actually pushed myself beyond my limits, and now I'm worse. I got to get home right now." Okay? Well, in this article, they were showing specifically that the use of gelatin seemed to greatly reduce fatigue during any type of physical activity, whether that was a walk or that was going to the gym to exercise. But this is the other one that really piques my interest, and you'll figure out why why I'm curious about this. It's because this is just kind of discovered accidentally. Okay. Also about gelatin. Back in the year 1973, researchers at the University of Singapore, they accidentally discovered that gelatin may reduce benign prostate symptoms. And so let me say it a different way. If you're a man and you get up 40,000 times a night to pee, and you can never get a good night's rest because you always have this sense of urgency and you got to drain your bladder, well, you might have a swollen prostate. Okay? Here's a study right here. And this is not anything that they were looking for. It's just what they noticed, which is just an interesting correlation here. And this study was done exactly 50 years ago. Now, just because it was 50 years ago does not mean it is not relevant today. Okay, here's what they did. The researchers gave men a total of 25... And you know what it shows a picture of here? If you go to the grocery store, what do they have where they sell the Jell-O? they have what's called Knox gelatin, or they sell plain, unflavored gelatin, which gelatin, by its very nature, it really doesn't have much flavor to it at all. There's not much to it. Okay, so the researchers gave men a total of 25 grams of gelatin per day. They divided the doses into three portions. This experiment had absolutely nothing to do with prostate or men complaining of prostate problems. But here's what happened. Some of the men with swollen prostates or benign prostate hypertrophy, you know, that's an enlarged prostate, they started reporting they felt the urge to urinate less often. And they could also, in addition to that, they could urinate a lot more easily. And they no longer experienced this burning sensation when they had to go to the bathroom to pee several times a day, or probably several times a night, in addition to multiple times a day. So are you with me on this? They're doing a study looking for something else, but all these men that have swollen prostates, they're discovering there's some totally unexpected, wonderful benefit. It's a new discovery to taking gelatin. It wasn't what they were looking for, but it's what they found. Okay. When the supplementation stopped, the symptoms of a swollen prostate returned. However, listen to this. After 5 months of taking 25 grams a day of gelatin, I'm just quoting the numbers, that way you'll know how to work this out for yourself. After 5 months of taking 25 grams daily of gelatin, the men also experienced the same positive effects at a lower dose. What that means is their prostates got in pretty good shape after about 5 months. At that point, they could lower the dose. Now, I'm looking for the lower dose. It doesn't say in here. I don't know what that is. So you could ask me and I could tell you. And I can't, or I can't tell you because I don't know what that is. The researchers also made a note that they could measure how much protein or animal protein, specifically from, you know, meat. That could be everything from eggs to chicken to steak to beef to pork. What did I miss out? Fish. Meat consumption had absolutely nothing to do with reducing prostate symptoms, because there were a couple of researchers that were curious about that. What I want to do is, can I just read to you exactly what the researcher says? And I'll read this. To me, it's interesting. You may not think so, but I think it is. In the course of the experimentation, not relevant to this report, it was observed that supplementation of the normal diet with a total daily amount of 25 grams of gelatin, in parenthesis, they put Knox Gelatin Incorporated, Johnstown, New York, zip code 12095, given in 2 to 3 portions as a water suspension, substantially relieves the distressing symptoms associated with a benign prostatic hypertrophy. Burning and urgency disappear as the stream enlarges. Okay, the frequency of nighttime urination is reduced. That's a home run too. Initially, these symptoms return promptly after the gelatin supplementation is discontinued. However, after the gelatin is taken, that means consistently, methodically, daily, for 5 to 6 months, a few days of discontinuation is no longer accompanied by a fast return of the symptoms. Okay. Since these observations were peripheral to other objectives, they were not followed up experimentally. Okay. As far as I know, to the best of my knowledge, there's no further studies on this from 1973. And you're probably going to say, well, why wouldn't they do a follow-up study on this? Because this is like good information. Well, what I would say is, follow the money. It may be just as simple as that. They don't, when I say they, excuse me, forgive me. A lot of times researchers are not really, really excited unless there's a large potential financial windfall from reporting on something. Kind of like if they spend $50 million on a drug to see how it works on the prostate. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar The drug is going to be expensive, by the way. If they spend $50 million researching it, they're not going to do that on gelatin. Okay? But this is interesting. That's why I'm giving it to you, because gelatin is cheap. And, you know, it's your job to help yourself. You are the one that has to be a good steward of your body and decide, what am I going to do? Now, what I'd be curious, I'd be so curious if a lot of the other systems of the body start working better, too, like your knee joints. Anyway, here's some other articles. I'm just going to read the title to you, and you tell me if it sounds good. There's a supplement. It's called Fortibone. What does that make you think of? Hey, is this a supplement that fortifies the bone? Well, yeah, that means strengthens, okay? It says gelatin-based Fortibone makes bone stronger. That comes from a journal from 2018. Well, the key is here, gelatin, all right? I think I just told you about the article I did not read that shows that if you take gelatin, you know, like Knox gelatin, you don't get as tired and exhausted. You tend to have more energy when you work out or you exercise. That might be important also. Here's another one right here. Gelatin, and this is just the title. This comes from 2017. I haven't read the article at all, but, you know, I've got the title here. Gelatin makes intensive exercise even more effective against bone loss. Well, how about that? If you've already set your mind that you're going to take care of yourself and exercise anyway, well, guess what happens? If you take a little bit of gelatin, it may work a lot better at preventing bone loss than if you just exercise without gelatin. Okay, listen to this one right here. After consuming gelatin, this is another study. This comes from 2016. After consuming gelatin, it makes your muscles bigger and stronger with exercise. I think you'd call that a bigger bang for the buck. Does that make sense? Okay. This is the next article right here. Let me go ahead and give the phone number again. This is the new phone number. It's different than the one that you're used to for, I don't know, the last 27 years. Okay, here's the new phone number. 903-589-8507. If you would like to call me, now would be a good time before I jump into this next study. 903-589-8507. If you call that, I should be able to get you right in. Okay, study number two. There's a study, and here's the... It's really on along the same lines of men with prostate problems, which, do you realize how many men suffer from horrific prostate problems? There's a lot, okay? Okay. There is a there's a plant. It is called fireweed. You're probably thinking, fireweed, what's that? Actually, y'all let me push this button real quick. How come that's not a dial tone? I do not understand that. That won't clear. Okay, can you hear me? No, it's just showing that it won't clear the line from the last caller. I'm pushing every button I know how to push. Okay. So if somebody calls, that'll be my test to see if that actually works. Okay. There's a common plant. Let me just read this to you. In everyday English, its Latin name is Epilobium angustifolium. Now you know why they call it fireweed for short, right? Okay, this... where did I get this from? Oh, yeah, here it is right here. Okay. According to a human study published in the journal Biomedicine and Pharmacotherapy, daily supplementation with two capsules of Epilobium angustifolium relieves prostate problems or complaints that a man would have. So, in the real world, you might just say, show me some fireweed. I actually have a picture of it. Now, my picture that I copied is in black and white, but it looks like something that I've seen growing right along the edge of a small creek. and it had brilliant red flowers, thus the name fireweed. So, could you imagine how they would show you or demonstrate or illustrate a picture of a plant or a flower, you know, 200 years ago? It would be like an artistic rendition. It's a work of art, these people that would actually draw with pencils and such fireweed. Makes me think of Leonardo da Vinci when he was a boy growing up. Okay, here's a study right here. This particular herb that's called Epilobium angustifolium, it's a typical pioneer plant, meaning if you own a piece of land and you let it just go wild, well, you can bet that the Epilobium is going to grow on it. That's called fireweed. And so this is interesting to me. Traditional healers, you know, herbalists from a long time ago, they would just use the tea from the aerial parts of the plant. That's the parts that are above the ground on the outside. And they would use this to treat migraine headaches. It was also useful for insomnia, loss of memory. If you were suffering from an upper respiratory tract infection or you had a cold that wouldn't go away, that's what they would give you. They would give you fireweed. Evidently, it looks like the burning bush. I just made that up. I'm sure it doesn't. It doesn't look like a burning bush. But it's probably got really brilliant red coloring to it. They also used it when people had stomach ulcers. That is good to know. Now, what gets me is, it was also in common use when somebody had food poisoning. You know, somebody makes potato salad. This is probably before refrigeration. They're going to have a family, you know, get together. And somebody, Aunt Becky, leaves the potato salad, you know, with deviled eggs on the out in the open with no refrigeration for 12 hours, and somebody eats them and goes, oh my goodness, I'm feeling sick, I'm vomiting. But it was also used with men that had lots of prostate issues. The prostate is a very unique gland. I'm sorry, ladies, you don't have one. But then again, men do not have ovaries or a uterus, as far as I know. Okay, so the main active substances in Epilobium angustifolium, they're going to be called flavonoid compounds. I'm not going to read them all to you. But this one right here, and when they do test tube studies and they actually put aggressive human prostate cancer cells in the test tube, they're trying to find out if there's anything that will aggressively kill these prostate cancer cells. Well, this particular plant called fireweed, in one study, comes from the journal Pharmacology. The year is 2003, October, volume 69. They showed that when you put fireweed, you know, the Epilobium angustifolium, okay, call the other number, 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. And let's see if I can get you in on that line. Somebody's trying to call the other number. Sorry. But when they put fireweed in contact with male prostate cancer cells in a test tube, well, it totally inhibits the growth and the development of the prostate cancer. It's almost like it brings it to a screeching halt. There's got to be somebody that's listening that may be interesting information that they would like to pursue and take a look at. Okay, I tried that. I'm sorry, I'm pushing buttons. The line is officially open. Somebody's trying to call the other number. I don't know which one it is, but the number that will get you through to me on this program, Health Essentials, is 903-589-8507. Okay. Here's a study right here. This was done at the University of Naples, Federico II University. That means it was done in Italy. So this is an Italian study. They gave 70 men with mild prostate complaints a supplement containing a half a gram of Epilobium angustifolium every day for 6 months. During the same period, they had 58 men with identical complaints of prostate problems, but they were given a placebo, which means the placebo doesn't have any medicinal active extracts that might exert a positive influence on the prostate. Okay, these men in the study had what urologists called benign prostate hyperplasia. What does that mean to you? That means an enlarged, swollen, sick prostate. It's not working right. Thus, they had to urinate a whole lot more than usual due to enlarged prostate. Okay, I need you to call. I know this doesn't sound very professional. Forgive me. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. That's the number that I can take your call. And I'll get you right in. So 903-589-8507. It's either that or there's a part of the equipment I don't understand how to work yet. Okay, back to the study about the prostate. When men have enlarged prostates, it stays swollen. It's hard for them to empty all the way. I mean, if you've ever been to church on a sunny morning and there's like an old restroom and you can just hear everything. I'm sorry, I'm playing with these phone lines. I keep getting calls, but none of them are going to the phone line that I'm mentioning. 903-589-8507. Any other number that you may call, I don't think that gets us where we want. It's either that or I'm going to have a tutorial on how to work this new control board up here. Okay. So they did this study from Italy, men that have swollen prostates, and all they're doing is they're giving them either a placebo or they're giving them fireweed. And so these men, they couldn't sleep throughout the night. They're waking up over and over again. They're going, oh my goodness, I just got up 30 minutes ago. I went to the bathroom, and now I got to get up and go again? I mean, haven't you been in public before where there's just a string of urinals, and you hear one man that has to stand there a long time? And it's excruciating. I know this is probably TMI, too much information. But he just can't go to the bathroom. He starts, he stops. So they just can't completely empty their bladder. They're miserable. Okay, here's the results right here. I have all these graphs in front of me, and I can't show you the graphs. I wish I could, because a lot of these graphs I look at, they're very impressive. So basically, the bottom line is the men that took the fireweed, you know, the Epilobium and Gustafolium, before and after, they did phenomenal. It greatly reduced the severity of the prostate symptoms. Now, the part that I don't know that I really understand is the prostate itself did not become smaller, meaning the prostate didn't shrink. But what happened was, they could produce a much stronger stream. They could empty their bladder all the way. They weren't getting up all the time at night. So the study doesn't exactly explain how the stuff works, but we know something good and positive happened. And so when you start looking at it, okay, you ask the question, well, are there any horrible side effects to taking it? And over the time they did the study, this is what the researcher said. And the people that wrote this were Italians. I don't know if that means anything to you or not. I'm just joking. No subjects reported adverse effects related to the oral intake of Epilobium and Gustafolium. That's fireweed. Moreover, it didn't show any hepatic or renal toxicity. I wonder if you could say that by taking a pharmaceutical drug. I don't know. It said, in conclusion, the herb Epilobium angustifolium, or fireweed, which is an extract food supplement, it's an herb, it can be used in subjects with benign prostate hypertrophy to improve their quality of life and general renal function. Well, it didn't flesh it out, but you know what they're saying? They're saying this is good for the kidneys too. It says the sponsor of the study was the Italian government and not a supplement manufacturer. Oh man, that sounds good. Okay. Well, I'm just going to confess, I have zero ideas what to do with this phone system. It's all my fault. I take full responsibility. So nothing that I thought was going to work, it's not working that way. So anyway, I'm so sorry. This would be like another weekend where I can't take phone calls. So I'll do the best. You know what? That's what you have to do in this life. You have to do the best with what you've got, right? You got to make the best of it. So I have no idea what I'm doing up here. I know how to operate the microphone. I can do that. But as far as all these people calling over and over and over again, I have no idea. Let's try this one right here. Nope, that doesn't work. I'm sorry. I cannot figure it out for the life of me. I have no idea. So skip the radio phone calls this morning. I can't figure it out. How frustrating. I thought it was going to be easy. There you go, Roy. Just because you thought it was easy doesn't mean it is going to be easy. Okay. Now, thank goodness, I've got some other good things to talk about here. So just hang on. Hopefully, I will tell you something that will be good for you that you can put into practice as we kind of work through all this right here. Okay. I personally love the taste of cinnamon. I mean, I can remember even when I was just really young, really, really liking cinnamon. Most likely it was my mother that introduced it to me. But this is me. Tell me what you think about it. But when I eat cinnamon or anything with cinnamon, cinnamon always has this, it imparts such a sweetness. It tastes sweet. Even if I took a capsule that was filled with high-quality cinnamon, to me, it tastes so sweet. Am I the only one that feels that way? I don't think so. I think there's probably lots of people. So cinnamon has some amazing qualities to it. Well, this is one article that I came across, and this might be from 2004. That's like 19 years ago, if I'm wrong about that. But anyway, this caught my attention right here. If you talk to many people throughout your daily life, you're going to come across some people that just suffer horribly from migraine headaches. You're gonna. Okay? So here's the abstract. When migraine patients take 3 capsules of cinnamon powder every day, their migraine problems drastically decrease. Their attacks decrease in frequency, they disappear more quickly, and they are less severe. That's the simple nuts and bolts of it. Okay. Some researchers, they suspect that migraine headaches or attacks are the result of inflammatory responses in the brain. You know what that means? You're just building up a whole bunch of inflammation in the brain. And they're saying these are triggered by factors such as an excessive production of interleukin-6 and then a compound called nitric oxide. Because cinnamon has anti-inflammatory effects, nutritional scientists at Isfahan University of Medical Sciences, they wanted to investigate whether cinnamon supplementation can relieve migraine headaches. Okay? Here's a study right here. The researchers divided 43 subjects aged 20 to 50 who all frequently suffer from migraine headaches. Well, I would say those are pretty good people to include in this study. They all suffer from high-grade migraine headaches. And what they did was they broke them up into 2 groups. So for 60 days, subjects in one group, they took a placebo every day, while subjects in the other group, they took 3 capsules of cinnamon a day. I don't know how you would be able to tell if you had a placebo or the cinnamon. Wait a second. Yes, I do. The cinnamon tastes really, really good. There's no way they could fool people and trick them because cinema is so strong. I mean, every time I've ever taken a capsule or a tablet that contains cinnamon, I knew it. I could, they make an essential oil of cinnamon that you can put in a diffuser. There's no mistaking it. It has such an aromatic quality to it. So you know full well that the people that were taking the 3 capsules of cinnamon, they knew they were taking cinnamon. It's just one of those things that just kind of bleeds through the gelatin capsule and you just taste it and smell it. Anyway, the cinnamon was in capsule form, and each capsule contained exactly 600 milligrams of cinnamon bark. I'm ditching the other words that are too long. Okay, so the subjects took 3 capsules every day, so if there were 600 milligrams, 3 times 6, that would be a total of 1,800 milligrams a day. So they took 1 capsule with each meal, breakfast, 1 at lunch, and 1 at dinner. Okay, here's the results right here. Cinnamon supplementation reduced the number of migraine attacks, the duration of the attacks, and the severity of the attacks. Okay, where's my chart right here? Okay, I've got a graph in front of me, and what they're doing is they're measuring the average amount over a 2-month period of severe migraine headaches. And here it is right here. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm going to say there were almost an average of 9 migraine headaches, you know, severe migraine headaches, over a 2-month period of time. When they took the cinnamon, they went from an average of almost 9 migraine headaches over a 2-month period, or 8 weeks, down to I'm trying to read this right here. Let me turn it sideways. It's small print. Almost to maybe, it shows like about 1.5 migraines. I don't know about you, but if you had an average of 9 severe migraine headaches over every 2 months, and you took that down to 1.5, man, that's pretty impressive. And then the next thing they looked at how long that the attack, the migraine headache, how long would it last once you actually had a migraine headache? Anyway, it just completely cut down by more than 50%. Every aspect of this improves with supplementation. Anyway, I just find it very interesting. So the researchers found less nitric oxide and less interleukin-6. That's the compound that your body produces when you have lots of inflammation. Isn't it nice to know that every situation doesn't require Tylenol 3 with codeine, a handful of ibuprofen, Aleve, Excedrin? All those are drugs, and yes, they play a role in helping people get through emergencies. But they also have side effects. Just like I think I read to you last week, when people had knee pain, sure, you can take all the Tylenol you want, but the problem is your cartilage in your knee starts breaking down prematurely. Yeah, you can take Tylenol or aspirin or ibuprofen or naproxen, but the problem is you're destroying the cartilage in your knees, whereas the counter to that would be if you actually took glucosamine sulfate, you could actually rebuild the cartilage in your legs or in your knees. Okay? And so they found out that these women that had these severe migraine headaches, when they started taking cinnamon, it greatly reduced this whole inflammatory cascade. It's almost like something magical is in cinnamon. Yeah, these flavonoid compounds. Really? So this is interesting right here. They're saying they need to do a larger trial because they only used, 60 women in the study. But these results are actually really, really impressive. Did I say 60? That was incorrect. It was exactly 43 because I can see the numbers now. Yeah, 43 is not a big number. But what if you were one of the women that took the cinnamon every day and you were the one that had tremendous relief from doing so? Well, I would suggest that would be a home run to you, wouldn't it? Okay. Let me try the phone line one more time again. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. I'm doing everything that I can to study this equation. I have no idea how that works. I thought I did. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to come up here and have a tutorial session with Randy and John Paul to see if they can teach me how to make this work. I'm actually just doing it the way that I always have. It's just not responding. I just don't have the touch today. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, there's literally a massive epidemic of loneliness. And that only gets worse as people age. Do you realize how many people, they just end up, for a variety of reasons, very, very lonely? They're just not around people. Well, I came across this study right here. The title of the study is Social Participation and the Risk of Developing Dementia. Well, if you're one of those people that you're afraid that you might develop dementia in old age, well, what's the answer to that? That's social activity. That means being around other people. It doesn't matter what kind it is, as long as you enjoy it. It increases the chance that your cognitive abilities will remain intact. That means you purposely get around other people. You know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is the first day of the week. Maybe that would be a very good day to go to church. Mm-hmm. You know what? Besides, you know, the most important thing about going to church is it gives you a chance to go and to humble yourself and to bow reverently before the living God and worship Him. That's a good thing. So when you partake of communion, you literally get to meditate upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You get to meditate on Him dying on the cross for your sins. And when you partake of the loaf, or the unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine, which I guess is grape juice, those are all symbolic, but man, how powerful is that? You get to reflect, and you get to show gratitude. Isn't that something? Outside that, you maybe want to find any and every way to join other people and find something very interesting to participate in. Here's a study right here. This gentleman's name is Andrew Summerlad. I like that name. Sounds like he's a man of the summertime. Anyway, he's affiliated with the University College of London. He published a review study in Nature Aging, which is a journal, in the spring of 2023, so this is like hot off the presses. It's just like a few months old, give or take. Well, okay, six. In which he summarized what we currently know about the link between social activities and dementia. Studies suggest that people who are socially active in middle and older age, they are less likely to develop dementia later. It is no good for you to stay home all day long. It is not. And I realize you may have a limitation. Maybe you don't have a car. Maybe you can't drive. Maybe you have become quite a bit more feeble than what you used to be. Or maybe you've had a sickness or an illness, and that in and of itself has prevented you from getting out. Well, you know how that stuff works. All of a sudden you can be going and doing and participating in life, and the next moment you're going, oh my goodness, I've lost all my strength. And yes, there are times that you literally have to set your mind like flint that I have got to get up and move. I've got to go. Obviously, you can't always wait for, you know, the magical moment when you feel super fabulous. You can't. You got to find a way to get up and make yourself go, even though you don't feel great. I mean, sometimes I think that we have it so easy here. that we've kind of forgotten what it's like to have a problem that you've got to struggle with and you've got to fight with, and you've got to find a way to persevere, overcome, adapt, but you just got to find a way not to give up and to make yourself do it. And sometimes that's just as simple as telling yourself, get up off the couch, Roy. You've got to get up and get moving. You know, personally, it is a tremendous blessing from God to have work. And it's a tremendous blessing to have challenges. Just like this morning, I'm challenged on the air to figure out how to make the, where I can take phone calls. I've had, I don't know, 15 people call, and I couldn't take one of them. I'm so sorry. But this is a good thing that's happening. It's a challenge. So from this, I'll ask questions of Randy and JP. How do I make this work? What am I doing wrong? Do I need a tutorial? Which the answer to that is yes. So there's going to be some aspect that I'm not doing right. Okay. But it's good to have something that continually challenges you. Just like no matter what your age, it is good to have work to do. I don't know if you've observed this. I know, well, I'm pretty sure you have. It's not good for a person to stop working, usually. Oh, my goodness. I listen to people tell stories all the time. A woman was telling me yesterday, just very gently with her husband there, and she just said he's not moving like he did when he was working. He doesn't have the same routine. He's more sedentary. But I get what she's saying. He doesn't have the challenges. That is not good for a man not to have continual challenges. It's really a gift from God. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for all the challenges. Even this teeny tiny minimal challenge I have right now with getting the phone lines to work. Okay, here's the results right here. The epidemiological studies that Summerlad collected conclude that study participants who engage in relatively little social activity and very few social contacts, they are the ones that are the most likely to develop dementia. If you want to say, is that the same as Alzheimer's? Probably under these circumstances, yes. It says that being socially active therefore reduces the risk of dementia by 50%. That's a pretty big number. So having a continual challenge, solving problems, making your brain work, that's really the bottom line right there. When you're around other people, you've got to make your brain work. Maybe that's what fishing is. See, I think I've heard this. This is just a rumor right here. If you're Italian and you go fishing, I think it's a well-known secret, even though you think nobody knows. You're actually sprinkling cinnamon powder on your lures to entice the largemouth bass to bite your lure. Okay? Don't be upset with me if I revealed your fishing secrets. Okay. You know what the bottom line of the study is. If you feel lonely, you probably have the highest risk of developing dementia. So get out there, introduce yourself, smile, laugh, talk. There's only a million things to discuss. Don't you have friends like that that you can pretty much I left some of it out. This day's just going fabulous, isn't it? Anyway, yes, under normal circumstances, I like knowing what I'm going to talk about. If I get up in front of a group of people and I'm giving a talk, I would like to be fairly organized to where there's like a good flow of the topic, and I like the information to be very good. But this is like one little, this is interesting to me right here. Just listen to what Dr. Summerlad says. Dr. Summerlad, he suspects that social activities, they force the brain to stay active, which reduces the risk of dementia. Social contact also reduces the risk of depression, and it inhibits inflammation. To me, that's interesting. So what do we do when we have inflammation? Do we take an anti-inflammatory? Well, according to this research from Dr. Summerlad, just talking and visiting with other people reduces brain inflammation. Isn't that interesting? which if you reduce inflammation, that does greatly reduce the risk of developing dementia. Because dementia is a growing problem due to the aging population, interest is growing in initiatives that keep people socially active. I'll tell you what. Do you know what it means, the term novel learning? That means you study something, or you try to learn something, or you apply yourself to figuring out what they're talking about on the video or in the email, or like me, you're reading a book. And so if it's new information to you, that's novel learning. But what you're doing is you're helping your brain grow new neural connections. That's why exercise is so beneficial. The two ways that have been proven over and over again to grow new brain cells, and I'm suggesting to you, this is to replace the old damaged ones that aren't working as well as they should. Believe me, you want to grow some new brain cells. And the way that you do that is with exercise and novel learning. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked at the studies, but I'm just curious. Do people just use cell phones now and they just get on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook? Is that all? Is that the only reading they do? Just reading the large bold print? Or do they actually get books that have some technical information, and do they study it? Well, I don't know. I know that those cell phones are so addictive. Could you imagine how this whole experiment's going to turn out 20 years from now? What is the next generation of adults going to look like if they don't know how to write in cursive, if they don't understand how to read? It's kind of a cool thing, but when I was in school, we had to use what was called the Dewey Decimal System. It is not easy. Are you kidding me? I was well acquainted with the library director, Mrs. Librarian. I cannot find this journal. Where is it? And she might take me into the back corner of this very large university library. And I'm going, oh, you mean it's right there? It looked like nobody, I would think I was doing a study on Parkinson's disease at the time. It looked like there was so much dust on this that nobody had blown. Dude, do you have books that you've never read? Well, I do. In case there's a major crisis in the world and I have to stay at home for a couple of days, I've got plenty of stuff to do. Oh, I can read, all right. And then, you know, it's so interesting and so fun to read and to learn. I think that's the way that I feel about the Word of God or the Bible. The more you read it, it is literally a book unlike any other book in the universe. There's nothing like it. It just keeps unfolding. Even though you've read a verse before, you may read another one and you cross-reference with the one that you've read 100 times, and all of a sudden, all these new truths begin to unfold right there before you in front of your very eyes. And you go, that's just so amazing. I had no idea. See, if I'd written the Bible and there was a story about Adam and Eve, well, I'd want to be like 100 chapters long with lots and lots of details, but that is not the way that it's written. Some of it you have to, well, you know, here's the bottom line. If you want to know what the Bible says, you're going to have to apply yourself. I think there's a scripture that says, study to show thyself approved. Well, that means you've got to expend effort and energy. You've got to want it. Maybe that's exactly how the Word of God is written. You've got to want to know what's in it in order to obtain that. But you know what the beautiful part of it is? The more that you read it, the more it unfolds. And you start imprinting all that great information in your mind so it stays there easier. I know there's plenty of people that say, I don't understand, I can't memorize scripture. And yes, that's true. For some people, it is very, very challenging. But the more that you apply yourself, the more that you try, even if you're one that has a learning disability such as dyslexia or a version thereof, could you imagine how deep and how rich the Word of God is? The more that you study it, you start imprinting it deep into those recesses of your brain so you can recall it easier and better. Isn't that just amazing? That's awesome. Okay. Back to the article. Dr. Summerlad is saying, definitely we have a problem with more dementia, more Alzheimer's. There's a lot more people that are lonely. People that are lonely, they have the highest amount of dementia or cognitive decline. But when you're continually confronted with work and challenges, you choose to go and be around people. One of the easiest ways to do that is just going to church. Who wouldn't want to? Every time you go, you're challenged. I think my recommendation would be that when you go to church, you do have some humility about you. You do stand in awe and reverence of the living God. And I promise you, if you're humble, you can learn something new every time. What if you showed up tomorrow and you took a notepad or a sheet of paper and you just started taking notes? And if you take notes, why don't you take them in cursive? You know, there literally are studies or observational studies where they show that when people write in cursive and they practice that, they do the very best at retaining the performance of their mind and their memory. So if you think that maybe your memory is slipping a bit, maybe you should practice writing in cursive every day. Maybe you could be like one gentleman that I know. I won't call him Ray, but he's got such beautiful handwriting, and he's so artistic when he writes things down. I'm thinking, no wonder the guy's brain is so sharp, because he actually practices. He's like a scribe, constantly recording and writing down scripture and doing his artwork. I think it's a thing of beauty. He would be the type of person that if you gave him a card that was blank, he could make it so beautiful and so encouraging. And if he wrote that to somebody that was really, you know, suffering with an illness, or maybe they have another problem of some kind, and as long as you're a human being and you're walking the earth, there's going to be problems. There's no way around it. But he would be exactly the person that can encourage, lift up, and he can do this unique thing where he's making the world a better place every time he does that. Actually, this is probably like a pretty good idea. I think at your church you go to, y'all should start a card writing campaign. You can do it the third Sunday of every month after services. You could write cards and notes of encouragement to either members or people like at the schools where your children go, or to the police officers and firemen. Or you can write them here to the radio station. And you can encourage Randy to fix the phone lines for Roy. Anyway, why don't you try that? Why don't you try every day you start taking a pencil or a pen and you start writing down in cursive your to-do list. And then you find a scripture and start writing that. Or maybe there's another quote that you absolutely have to figure out a way to grow new brain cells. So write down the exercises that you want to do. Maybe it's as simple as walk 5 minutes away from the house and then turn around and walk 5 minutes back and record that and write it down. Let's see if we don't see like a good result. Anyway, I really enjoyed being with you today. Sorry the phone lines didn't work. We're going to get them fixed, though. Thanks for hanging in there with me.